Hutchinson crouches under center, takes the snap, pressure, it's hit! Breaks away, but he's hit again! Aiken Adell had him all bottled up. Somebody jumped over the pile and made sure to put him on the ground. Mike Peterson got him. Hutchinson under center, finding the noise, watches with the safety screen puck. Display action, under pressure, hit, sack, safety! Darryl Smith, the rookie from Georgia Tech.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Jaguars Today kicking off right now. You're welcome to get on board throughout the next 2 hours at 641-1010. We cleared the decks, Tony. O'Halloran's got the day off.
Yeah.
He's going to join us next Thursday. We have the constant shifting landscape of co-hosts. So it's me and you and Lauren Brooks and all of Jaguar fandom today, getting together for the next couple of hours. You know what I watched last night?
Besides the game?
Well, part of the game, the one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
Darryl Smith, still making plays.
He really is.
He's making plays all over
Pittsburgh
the place.
Pittsburgh got
man.
The ball, went straight down the field. They had a really good drive going, and then Darryl Smith pokes it out. He holds Heath Miller up just long enough on a play there in the fourth quarter that forces the turnover that really iced that game for Baltimore last night, too. It's pretty crazy that he's still out there making the plays that he is. As good a season as he had last year, you thought maybe in 2014 he's going to start slowing down. Not yet.
Hasn't happened. They drafted Arthur Brown in the second round last year. He's on the trading block. Darryl Smith cannot be moved out of the lineup.
Nope.
Plus they got C.J. Mosley, who looked pretty good last night as well. So the Ravens bounce back. That's what happens a lot, Tony, in week two. We try to, I think, even plan for it. As you and I have picked our winners over the years, you know there's the course correction coming after week one. Everything is not as it seems in week one of the National Football League. So while Pittsburgh won and they put up 27 first half points and they looked dominant for a half, they looked really bad in the second half. Baltimore was the opposite. They were terrible in the first half against Cincinnati, much better in the second half, had a chance to win that game. And this was desperation time for the Ravens last night. You lose that, you've lost two division games at home to the two primary contenders in the division. You're toast probably for winning the division. And I love Bill Cowher in the pregame last night, admitting kind of, he said, if I were sitting in John Harbaugh's seat, I wouldn't say this is a must win, but sitting where I'm sitting now, absolutely it's a must freaking win, which just goes to show, you know, all the coaches get so indignant when you bring up terms like that. And as soon as they come to the dark side, to the media side, that's what it is. You better win. Of course, there's 14
more
games.
They face the reality of the situation.
You could still win the next 14 in a row, Tony. What are the odds of that happening?
Right. You don't want to put it on the players while you're in that position, but once you're out of it, it's like, yeah, I mean, that's, as a coach, that's how I felt going into the game. I just wasn't ever going to say it that way because I didn't want to put that on everybody else.
Right. Look, what happens if we lose? We going to shut down the season?
Right. I mean, week one to week two, obviously there's going to be a lot of things that we thought we knew coming out of week one that are going to change going into week two. Looking at last night's game, though, Mike, it's pretty clear now the Pittsburgh Steelers can't stop the run.
No.
They couldn't do it against Cleveland. They couldn't do it last night against Baltimore, who was trying to find some kind of running game coming out of week one. I mean,
Bernard Pierce was abysmal last week.
Yeah, they cannot stop the run in Pittsburgh right now, which is an odd thing to say considering the Steelers' identity has been that defense for so long. It's not there right now.
Other one who got away might have been Justin Forsett, by the way, who had a pretty nice burst.
He did.
When given the opportunity last night, almost scored a pretty long touchdown late in the game. And, you know, you could use him right now. Storm Johnson not practicing again yesterday, so you would expect he's not going to be active for game day. You have Denard, who I don't think they envision as an every down kind of guy. You know, if Toby Gerhart re-aggravates something with his ankle this week, you hope not. You've got Jordan Todman, who is not done anything to open eyes in a positive way once kind of training camp started. Summer, thought this guy was on some kind of jet skates or something out there, or whatever the 1960s thought the future would look like.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was ripping off big run after big run. In practice, we just haven't seen that same explosiveness from Jordan Todman at this point in time. We'll make our official picks later in the show.
Sure.
It's not trending in a good way in my head this week. It's had a negative vibe to me all week long. Is that accurate of reality, or do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that you can get beaten down a little bit through the week like you were talking about with the injury report and watching Marquise Lee come in and out of practice. Cecil comes back limited basis. He's out yesterday for practice. That means he's probably not going to play. The hope coming out of the weekend last weekend was that maybe Cyprian would be back, get through the concussion program. That's not going to happen for this football
team.
Doesn't
appear that that's anywhere close.
So he's probably not going to be out there on Sunday. And we saw what a disaster it was on the back end without Cyprian there to cover up some of those things. So you're going up against the Washington team that it's tough to figure out who they are coming out of week one because they were playing J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and how much of playing those guys did that affect the game plan they had coming in? And so we saw RG3 with all these short little dink and dunk passes, and are they going to show what they actually want to do? The reason they brought in DeSean Jackson and kept Pierre Garçon and brought in Andre Roberts and still have Alfred Morris in the background because they want to ground and pound to lead to shots downfield, which they didn't get to do last week. But that's what we all thought the identity of this Washington team was going to be. They didn't show it last week. You got to wonder if they're frustrated and want to come out early and make a statement against this Jaguar defense too.
They probably are frustrated, I'm sure, but I think they were probably smart. Jake Gruden's thinking, look, Robert Griffin III showed me nothing in the preseason that leads me to believe he's any less reckless than he's ever been. Let's not put him in a position where he's going to get crunched repeatedly by that pass rush.
And that's really one of the keys for the Jaguars going into this game, is RG3 looked terrible in the preseason, and he didn't look good last week. So hit him early, hit him often, and get him rattled, and who knows what can happen for them offensively in this game from a Redskin perspective, because I do think that the strength of the Jaguar team is going to be stopping the run, and it's going to be that way all year. The front seven against the run should be good all season long, and if you force that Redskins team to be a team that has to throw instead of be able to use that run to set up the pass, that could be a huge advantage for the Jags.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've said it several times this week. I think Alfred Morris's style of play lends to even better success for the Jags front seven than McCoy and Sproles, that shifty break your ankle type stuff. Alfred Morris can still make some guys miss, but he's got more Toby Gerhardt in him, I think, than he does LeSean McCoy
sure. In
him, you know, and I think that's going to be good for a team that for the most part I thought was pretty sure tackling. Now, you're always going to miss a few tackles, but the big plays came on blown assignments, not so much broken arm tackles and things like that. Very impressed with the way some guys in the secondary, such as Dwayne Grotz, have shown in run support throughout the offseason and through week one. It was good to have Grotz back at full practice yesterday, too. I mean, that if you were going to tell me that Grotz was limited yesterday and was, say, questionable on the official injury report that came out today, he'll probably be listed as probable because he did miss a little bit of practice time this week. You know, again, Garçon caught 10 balls last week. And we're sitting here talking about, are they going to unleash DeSean Jackson? You're already without Cyprian. If you're without Grotz, that's a big hole to climb out.
No doubt.
So today, we're going to ask you, as we will every Friday throughout the regular season, give us your keys to victory for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know, half of them that I've already received probably are just, play the kid. Would be key to victory number one. Hey, go with whatever you like, okay? Three keys to victory. Tweet Tony and I at MD underscore 1010XL.
We get it.
Oh,
it's fine. It doesn't have to.
It's going to continue. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, but we will definitely, I've definitely received some, and I expect more to come in, by the way, at MD underscore 1010XL, where I'm going to see how many Twitter followers I can lose quickly, because I never mention, you know, the Twitter account. I never ask for Twitter followers, because we've seen negative reactions.
Oh, are you close to a number?
I just crested over 6,000.
Oh, very nice.
On the overnight, sometime between the time I shut down Twitter. Man, I'm just telling you right now, if you're going to send me a fantasy lineup question, Thursday at 7 might be the cutoff, because I got 19 lineups of my own to deal with. and although I try to keep up during the week, I like to go through and do a final check in the hour leading up to kickoff. And I'm telling you, brother, I was 50 deep in the questions backlog yesterday. I got to all of them, I believe, so I will do my best. But there's nothing wrong with tweeting me on Tuesday, you know? It's to say, well, I know what the matchup's going to be.
Right.
They're not going to change the schedule later on the week. You can tweet at 1010XL Fat Tony, and, of course, at 1010XL Lauren as well. We'll hear plenty from the Jags locker room yesterday. We'll hear some from Gus Bradley from the Gus Bradley Show last night on 1010XL and 92.5 FM every Thursday. We got Friday Night Lights scoreboard show, High School Action, brought to you by Mike Davidson Ford with Fat Tony and Hacker coming up tonight. We'll give you a preview of that. Shad Khan released a statement on the Ray Rice situation and all its ancillary moving parts. We'll, if you haven't seen that, we'll share that with you coming up as well. And we'll take your calls throughout the next couple of hours at 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, you can also weigh in on the fan feedback question of the day from Tom Bush on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Looking for your three keys to victory for the Jags trying to get even at 1-1. You get to 1-1. You're going to feel completely differently about this football team. And then the Indianapolis Colts are coming into town next week, Tony. And they could be 0-2.
Could be.
I mean, Philly coming in to play them on Monday Night Football, you could have a chance to maybe not write them off, but put the Colts in a pretty steep hole. You got to protect the bank when the Jags face Andrew Luck and the division rival Indianapolis Colts. September 21st, 1 o'clock. That's the home opener. Be there for the amazing season opener. Witness what everybody's been talking about with the world's largest video boards and the NFL's best game day experience. It's the unveiling. You have to be there. Tickets are going fast, though, so get yours at jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000 and come on out and protect the bank and hopefully help the Jags protect a 1-1 record. 641-1010. Phone lines open to you. We'll come back, poke our head in the Jaguar locker room, see what we came up with yesterday as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today, getting rolling on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. One game into week two of the National Football League season, one game into week two of your fantasy season, and boy, I tell you what, injuries can knock you down, lack of performance can knock you down. You drafted guys like Victor Cruz, Trent Richardson. I don't know what you were thinking, right? You're thinking, my season's over already. Not with FanDuel.com. You go in, your season starts today. It starts this week, and it can start fresh again next week. It's that simple. FanDuel.com is the nation's leader in weekly fantasy football, winning real cash. You can enter for as little as a dollar and win hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on some of these contests. Even one guy won $1 million last year playing at FanDuel.com. Could be you, the next one. Go to FanDuel.com, enter my name, Mike, in the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. They're going to match your initial deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. Start playing, start winning this week with FanDuel.com. Play this week, play next week, play as often, as infrequent as you like. You're in charge. It's weekly fantasy football, the wave that's taken over, and the only place to do it is FanDuel.
Oh, I mean, he's extremely important back there. He's one of our heart and souls. But the good thing is we in camp together, you know, all of us, we prepare the same and we work hard. So I think, you know, next man up, whoever that is, Josh or CP, like we'll be fine.
That's Will Blackman, Jaguar cornerback, talking about what a big loss it would be or what degree of loss it would be to not have Jonathan Cypre. Next man up, Tony, because it's, you know, you just got to do the job. Hey, not every, there's a reason the first man up is the first man up. He's better than the next man up, typically. Am I wrong? I mean, look, that's just the facts of the matter.
Sure.
With some exceptions, obviously. There's always sometimes guys coming off the bench coming up with big performances. Might be Josh Evans this week, but you don't want to go too many weeks without Jonathan Cypre in that secondary.
No, you really don't. And again, we saw what it looked like for a half without him last week, and it was not a pretty picture from that Jaguar defense. A couple blown assignments led to some obviously huge plays. One play was just, we've talked about it all week. The fourth down run from Darren Sproles was they needed a timeout, and the coaching staff didn't get the timeout and get the right guys on the field to try to defend that play. And so little itty-bitty Darren Sproles ran off guard for a 49-yard touchdown.
He busted it up the gut.
On a fourth and one. It's super frustrating, but real big fish coming back to start the
Real
day,
big
huh?
fish. Did you know that was real big fish?
Oh, yeah. I love real big fish.
Did A-ha do something wrong with the song that it needed to be redone?
It wasn't that good. I'll tell you that.
The remake wasn't that good, if that's what you're saying.
I love ska.
You thought that is better than A-ha's
Sorry,
take
man.
On me.
I'm a ska fan. I just am.
It's awful.
And for your clue, I was going with the keyword fish in that song. So that's why we got the real big fish version of Take On Me.
Jed Fish is the key for this week?
He's not, but he is the clue for this particular song.
Okay.
You're just going to have to wait and listen.
The key is to outscore the Redskins this week.
Well, that's always the key.
You don't usually give us any clue.
I know.
So that's, I guess. All right. I thought it was going to be. I hope we're not having a bad remake of the Jaguars week one loss.
No, absolutely
that
not.
You weren't going for, because I thought bad remakes might be the theme today.
Nope. I would never do that to you. Trust me.
You sure about
Promise.
That?
Promise.
Fantastic, Dan. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here. Will Blackman talking about the loss of Cyprian. Also, yesterday, talking a little bit about what it's like to game plan for a pair of receivers as dynamic as Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson.
The key is to make sure we stop the run first. You know, they have a really good running back, and Alfred Morris, over 1,000 yards the past couple of years. So he's very, very important. But, yeah, they're very explosive on the outside, and, you know, when they do come out, we'll be ready.
They're very compartmentalized in their roles with their backs, though, Tony. Rarely do they throw the ball to Alfred Morris. When Roy Helu's on the field, you got to be concerned with him. He's very, sure, very smooth-handed, very sure-handed coming out of the backfield.
No, he definitely is, and we'll see how much that may play a factor in this game coming up on Sunday. Will Blackman also talked about Telvin Smith and how some of the other rookies are acclimating on that side of the ball.
I think they're doing pretty well in terms of just the – I think the culture has a lot to do with it. You know, we don't, you know, do anything crazy to make rookies feel less than themselves because we want them to perform at their best. So once they're here, you know, they're not treated like rookies per se, but we help them get the confidence to go out there and compete.
We don't haze them here in Jacksonville, Tony. Maybe we need to. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Telvin, I think once again, whether it's Helu or these tight ends, and the tight ends, obviously, with Jordan Reed not in, you tend to look away. Niles Paul played okay last week in, you know, in place of an injured Jordan Reed. What was it, a hamstring at that?
Yep.
He hurt, went out pretty early. And it doesn't matter what the name is. This is kind of the test of the theory that the Jags don't stop the tight end, because this is as nondescript as you're going to get of a tight end duo with Niles Paul and Logan Paulson coming at you this week.
And we talked about Pierre Garçon caught 10 balls last week. The tight ends were targeted a lot, again, because they had that short passing game last week, and RG3 was very comfortable. We heard it talked about on the game broadcast last night. The tight end is the quarterback's best friend because he's the guy running the shortest route over the middle of the field, and that's exactly what you would expect out of the Redskins tight ends this week, because they don't have Jordan Reed, who may be more that guy who stretches the field. Instead, you're dealing with Niles Paul and Logan Paulson.
You had Jeff Logman this week tell us how difficult it is if you're a linebacker. You know, that he almost excused, I think, what the Jags giving up plays to Zach Ertz, because he's like, look, Nick Foles sticks that ball in McCoy's gut. You have to react to that, and then he'll pull it out, and you've taken that first step towards the line of scrimmage, because you have to. You have to respect the league's leading rusher, and all of a sudden that tight end's with you and you're moving the wrong direction and you're feeling the sinking feeling of, uh-oh, here it goes. Well, Washington did not run a single read option play. So will they do a little bit more of that this week?
I would think so.
You would think, but I think, I mean, Jay Gruden's comments this week were like, look, every quarterback needs to eventually learn how to play from the pocket. He's almost being militant about this and saying, I'm going to take this guy and he's going to play quarterback the way I want him to play quarterback. And we think he has the tools to do it. But at the same time, man, I mean, did you make Randall Cunningham that? You know what I mean? I mean, if you've got a guy that can add to, I don't forget this week. I hope RG3 goes 0 for 40 passing, but in the big picture, you got a guy who's in his mid-20s with these athletic gifts. Yes, you want him to become more of a pocket passer, but at the same time, it's okay to use those legs. You just got to protect yourself better.
What was the conversation we had 2 years ago when these guys burst onto the scene? Russell Wilson and RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. The discussion we all had was, the difference between these guys and these mobile quarterbacks that we've seen in the league before is their ability to beat you from the pocket. And it was that you had to fear what they could do with their legs, and then they would use their arm to beat you. And we're still seeing Kaepernick and Wilson do that. The Redskins have taken away RG3's legs. They've taken that away from the game plan, it feels like, for the last year or
so. Because he tore his knee up.
Right. And because of that, he's not as effective a passer, because teams aren't respecting his ability to get out of that pocket and run like they did 2 years ago during his rookie season. You have to, and I understand protecting RG3, but it's who he is. And what makes him a dynamic player in this league is going to be the ability to get those big plays from the run games, to extend drives using his legs. And if you're not going to give him the opportunity to do that, you're handcuffing your own offense, and it doesn't make much sense to me.
All right, let's go to the line, 641-1010. We'll hear from Toby Gerhart coming up, Paul Pazluzny as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you on Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We'll start things off today by talking with Joe. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Mike, I got two questions. One, I don't want to really talk a lot about the Ray Rice thing, but just one quick question. The fans in Baltimore, you remember they gave him a standing ovation when he came to practice?
Correct.
You know, so there's so much backlash at the commissioner. Well, what about those fans that, I mean, what did they expect to also see out of that other video?
All right, go ahead.
And my other question is, the NFL just released that they're going to change their drug policy. So Josh Gordon's now year-long suspension is 8 games. When do we get Justin Blackmon back?
That's not official, by the way, the suspension for Gordon being 8 games. That's what's being speculated on. It's my understanding now. Now, Gordon, I guess his positive test occurred in 2013, but his suspension didn't begin until 2014. I think that's why he's kind of getting half grandfathered into this, because the feeling is, Tony, if the drug policy, which is supposed to be voted on today, goes into effect, you may be getting Ace Sanders back pretty quickly here.
Sure.
All right. Now,
although we don't know what Ace was.
But let's play the hypothetical game.
Right.
Okay. And let's say Ace Sanders tested positive for marijuana, but it was somewhere below what the new threshold is going to be. Okay. And keep in mind the threshold that the World Anti-Doping Agency set. Let's say, I'm making up these numbers to make it easier for me to understand. Let's say it's one particle or 10 particles out of 100 or whatever, right? Well, the league's threshold for a positive test is one particle out of 100. It's 10 times less stringent is what it is, that you have to have 10 times the amount of marijuana in your blood to test positive by the World Anti-Doping Agency than you do in the National Football League. So the idea that you could get a whiff of secondhand smoke is actually reasonably credible to some degree, because the number is so low with what the NFL is talking about. But let's say Ace is somewhere between the old threshold and the new one, if even that's what he even tested positive for. Well, that could be wiped out completely because it happened this year, whereas Justin Blackmon's suspension actually started last year. And, you know, it was an 8-game suspension with him having the ability to, I guess, appeal to. It was kind of like an indefinite minimum of 8 games, right? With the ability after 8 games, which would be the second half of the season last year, because he missed 4, came back for 4, missed the final 8 games. He's shown no inclination to take any steps, from what I can gather, to make any move towards wanting to come back to the National Football League. Josh Gordon's out there speaking his mind, making statements, hey, I'm not a druggie. You know, I'm not this, I'm not that. I've stayed clean. This hasn't been me. I passed all these tests.
I went to rehab. They told me I'm not an addict.
Right. Exactly. I went to rehab of my own volition. And I went through a program, and they said, you know what? We're glad you came in, but we don't consider you a drug addict. But, hopefully it was beneficial for you, what you learned in here anyway, kind of thing. So he clearly is knocking at the door, wanting to get back in the game. I can't tell you what's going to happen with that. Like I said, the latest speculation is probably 8 games, half a season. He's already missed 1, so midway through the year, Cleveland might get him back.
Maybe.
Wes Welker may play this week. Now, I don't know how much they'd play him if he hasn't been practicing with the team, but he could be cleared to play.
And that's kind of the same atmosphere that Ace Sanders is probably in. And again, it depends on what put him into the 4-game suspension. We still don't know. Obviously, there was no announcement on that. If it was marijuana, if his test doesn't pop under the new policy, sure. Josh Gordon, by the way, if it gets reduced to 8 games for the drug hit, the league still has 2 DUIs that they have to deal with him, too.
When they're adjudicated, though, right?
Because
they haven't gone through the court system.
Who knows what's going to be the final thing with Josh Gordon, but after he got suspended, he got arrested for DUI twice.
My guess is if he does get the suspension cut in half, he'll play this year, and that those will be worked out. And I mean, he may long term, he has issues. You're absolutely right about that. As far as the Raven fans, look, I get you can only have so much vitriol to spread around, I guess, right? I mean, look, there's plenty of it to share with the Ravens fans who gave this guy a standing ovation. Although I'll say this, you know, much like you hear Steve Bisciotti saying, look, the owner of the Ravens saying, look, the authorities in New Jersey reduce these charges to nothing. And while, yes, we didn't pursue the video, and that's on us, the signals they sent by doing that and putting him in a pretrial diversion program and basically getting it wiped off his record indicated to us that this was not that significant. Now, I'm not taking that at face value as a, you know, an acceptable excuse for, you know, their lack of activity then and now when a video comes out that they claim shows exactly what Ray Rice told Ozzie Newsome. Mm-hmm. Now they just cut him loose. You know, it seems like a stark contrast. But if you're a fan, you're even further removed from the process. And you're a fan, for goodness sakes. And you're thinking of the player and you want him out there. I mean, there are people out here that would never want to see Justin Blackmon in a Jag uniform again. There are people that would take him back this second because they need him as a football player. And that's to each your own to make up your mind on that. I'm not trying to compare what he's done to punching a woman in the face, but to some people, it's a crime's a crime. I've gotten those tweets in the last few days and, you know, what have you. You and I talked about, in fact, we use the term we. You and I don't care as much about people smoking marijuana as we do punching people in the face. Someone said, don't use that term we, because we don't all feel that way. When we say we, I'm not presuming to speak for Jaguar fandom or every person listening here in the city of Jacksonville.
No.
But regardless, yeah, I mean, I would hope that some of those fans would feel really stupid, and I think a lot of them do. Then again, you saw a group of about 30 people wearing Ray Rice jerseys hold a meeting together. They all met up in the parking lot yesterday and took photos that they sent out on Instagram about how proud they were, and there were like a half dozen women in that group. I get Janae Rice. She's a victim of domestic violence and everything you understand, the psychological things that go into that, on how it's hard to break away from the abuser on many levels. That's a different story, okay?
Sure.
You're a fan? You should not have that strong an emotional attachment to Ray Rice, in my opinion, if you're a woman, to see what you've seen and to go out there and wear his jersey and just like, what do you think you're doing, sticking it to the man? I don't get it.
But that's how they feel. And ESPN actually interviewed a couple women who were wearing Ray Rice jerseys going to the game last night. And the first woman they interviewed on SportsCenter, you know, just this man on the street type deal, she was like, yeah, I'm still wearing my jersey. She hit him first. If you hit a man first. And I'm watching going, really? Like, I can't believe there are still people who feel this way about this kind of issue. But it was crazy last night that anybody would be wearing a Ray Rice jersey to that game. Just
look,
crazy to me.
If a woman is holding a gun to your child's head, anything you do to her is acceptable. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if you're really fearing for your life or someone else's life, woman slaps you because you spit in her face or gives you a little bit of a backhand because you spit in her face, are you serious that deserves the left hook? Anyway, I think we...
And by the way, it's pretty clear by now that Ray Rice spit on her first. Based on that video.
Based on the video, yeah. The extended video, where you see them walking into the elevator.
Yeah.
He's lurking
twice
behind the pole in
twice
the lobby. Then he got her in the elevator.
Ugh.
What, I mean, look, still, spitting in someone's face is not, is a step above, but I don't think if a woman spits in your face, it gives you the right to cold cock her.
Nope.
Anyway. So, whatever. Moving on. Let's go to Michael. Next up, 641-1010, the number. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
The three things for the Jags. I got that, and I got one quick thing to say about Ray Rice. First thing is the coverage linebackers. That's a major concern of mine. And then the other two kind of go hand in hand, and that's the running game and offensive line. I think that something really needs to get going there. And then my only question or comment about the Ray Rice situation is how come it was that the rule was implemented for six games for a first-time offender, and Ray Rice is a first-time offender, and he gets an entire year. Does his attorneys have any argument whatsoever behind that?
Oh, they might, and really, it's kind of a moot point because he got released. I don't see anyone picking him up, but it's a year, Tony. My guess, and I'm not saying this is the absolute statement that the NFL would use, would be that they would, if Roger Goodell wants to claim that he told a different story. Because you had four sources yesterday tell Outside the Lines that Ray Rice told Roger Goodell exactly what he did, and
yep,
it was confirmed by the video. Roger Goodell has not used the word lie. He hasn't said Ray Rice has lied about it. He said he was ambiguous about what he said. But unless they're contending that, well, we gave him 2 games and we upped it to 1 year because he lied during the investigation process, and that's what the suspension's for. I don't know how, honestly, putting aside how distasteful it is, and I'm happy if Ray Rice never plays another down in the National Football League, you've been, quote-unquote, convicted, given a 2-game sentence. Evidence comes out showing exactly what was described that you were doing, and then they multiply it times 8. I honestly don't know how that would hold up, but I don't. I mean, it's going to be a moot point anyway. All right, we reinstate you. Who's going to sign Ray Rice?
Well, sure, and I'm curious to see what the players' union is going to do under the CBA, what they can do for Ray Rice, and how, you know, they're going to defend the actions of Ray Rice and try to get him at least paid, I would think, for this season. I think that, in the end, is what they're going to try to do, is at least get Ray Rice paid for the rest of this year.
And the Ravens cut him, though.
Right.
And Ravens have a right to cut him.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like I said, I'm just curious to see how the Players Association is going to respond to everything that has gone on from a league perspective with this Ray Rice thing to this point.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we can pick up where we left off. The Cattle join us. Jackson DeVille's in the house. He's going to pop in. He's wearing a very handsome, very tasteful sport coat today.
That seems like something Kramer would wear.
That's his style, man. That's the cat. All right, we'll come back. Take more of your calls as well at 641-1010. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on Jaguars Today. 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Tony's already figured it out. Bob Seger, Hollywood Knights.
It's the coaching staff.
Fish and Bob. Fish and Bob.
How many more was it going to take you to figure it out, Mike?
All of them. At the end, when you tell me what the theme of the day was.
We'll no.
We'll see where you go from
if
here.
If I had gotten, I was going to go Luke next.
Okay.
And then after
I assume
that.
You still are.
Yeah.
You're
going to
get
yeah,
the two live crew up in here.
Yes.
With their camel. There you go.
Yes.
What is that, Uncle Luke? What do they call him? Back in the day,
I think it was Uncle Lou.
The cat would know. Hello, cat. How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
You're like the photo opposite of Casual Friday.
Absolutely,
with your fanciest teddy bear plaid jacket on today.
Well, because you know, during normal working days, I go the exact opposite of what they like around here. I wear a t-shirt and shorts. So I figure on Casual Friday,
yes,
I'll dress up.
Yeah, which is what I said. What's Casual Friday like? It's like, well, when I see people dress like I've dressed all week long. There you go. Tony's going to tweet out a pic of the cat. Are you allowed? Is this like late 70s? Is somebody got a picture of Gene Simmons without his makeup? Are we allowed to tweet pictures
yeah,
of the cat without
yeah,
the suit on?
Considering the reason I'm wearing this is because I was just on WJXT Channel 4 doing my weekly segment on there.
Never heard of them.
Emmy nominated weekly segment called The Litter Box. I was on there talking about the bear that was found in Jack's Beach earlier this week that was actually at my building.
That wasn't the one playing with the flagpole, right?
No, that one was adorable.
Totally different one.
That was adorable. But this was the one that was found in the bushes in Jack's Beach. It was actually in my building.
Baby bear? Little tiny bear?
350-pound bear.
Oh, little baby.
Yeah. Just apparently swam across the intercoastal. So I figured I'd wear my jacket that I got made in Hong Kong when I went and did the Chinese New Year's parade 1 year. So you got to get a suit.
You know, of course.
Yeah.
Of course you went and did the Chinese New Year parade.
Ten NFL mascots get flown over to Hong Kong to do the Chinese New Year's parade.
And got a classy plaid jacket that will stand the test of time. That thing will always be in fashion.
I'm huge in China.
Is Jackson DeVille going to do a stunt with the newly caught bear?
No, they took him to Camp Blanding.
Right, but I mean, that's not that far from the stadium.
That would be pretty awesome.
They have a lot of guns at Camp Blanding. I hope that bear's going to be all right.
If we were playing the Bears in the regular season this year, I definitely would have brought him here.
What kind of hijinks and trickery will we see the scoreboards have coming up on September 21st?
Man, I think I'm going to go light tower first game. Go light tower with maybe a couple backflips. We're talking about where the stunt's going to go right now, whether it's going to go right after anthem or right before visiting team intro, and figuring out the timeline there. So I can't wait. Next week, I know that we're supposed to focus on 1 week at a time, but obviously I don't have anything to do with the Redskin game, so my focus is the Colts game.
Yeah, you've had some extra weeks of preparation.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like 2 bye weeks in a row to get ready for the Colts.
I know you've been thinking about this all summer. I mean, because we talked to you, you're like, wow, look, it's my personal playground out there.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys remember last year the mascot bets that I started the first few weeks of the year and the Colts bet where I took the paintballs to the chest.
Yeah, we remember.
Yeah, so when I saw the Colts as our home opener, I instantly had that kind of stinging feeling all over my chest again. So this one's personal for me. I really, really, really want to win this game, and so we got to have everybody there.
All right, we hope to have everybody there. Certainly want to protect the bank, as they're calling it. But for this week, I mean, it's just Cyprian, I think, is such a large presence in that secondary. Hasn't practiced all week. You got to believe at this point, I mean, we don't have anything official, but he's not going to play in my estimation. So
I'm still holding out hope.
Well, hope is cheap. Indulge yourself, as a friend of mine likes to say.
He looks good on Twitter.
Well, there you go.
I mean, his
Jamal Fudge, by the way, tweeted me yesterday.
Yeah.
Former Jag safety, me and Tony said, tell Gus I'm ready, okay?
He's
in Jacksonville. He's ready to go if you need him for a few weeks. Fudge, I'm trying to get the word out for you, buddy.
What is funny is from time to time over the years when I'll get a phone call or an email from just randomly somehow, and it's a guy going, hey, can you get me in touch with Coach? I played defensive back at Edward White, and I just think if I could get a look, you know, I come down. I'm like, yeah, let me.
That's
just
all go, it's taking.
Let me just go give your tape, your VHS.
Coach,
tape.
I got this 26-year-old guy who's been driving a truck since high school.
Real, what people think of themselves. I always laugh. I follow Richard Sherman on Twitter. And anything he tweets, it's a bunch of high school kids throughout the country saying that they could beat him on a route. And I was just reading, and I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, do you have any idea who you're talking to? But that's all his mentions are just, man, you garbage. I could run around on you.
You know how I'd beat Richard Sherman? I'd line up on the other side.
That's right.
He'd be afraid to come follow
me
over there.
Maxwell.
That's how he is. Hey, let's get a few calls, and we got the cat here. If you'd like to say hello, if you want to talk Jaguar football or anything else, 641-1010. Max been hanging on the line. Hello, Mac. How are you?
Okay. I just want to make a comment. This Goodell Rice situation has been being blowing out of proportion by a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons.
Okay, and give me an example.
Okay. Well, one thing about it, I think like that it seems like all these women's groups are making putting a hit on them about everything, but it really wasn't necessary. If you were to correct this problem, you have to go right to the source of it.
All right. Thank you, Mac. I will say that it's probably, in my estimation, not over the top for a woman's group to take a strong anti-domestic violence stance. That's my guess.
It's not a reach.
It's my guess. Right. I mean, are there talking heads that are trying to pound the table like they do on every issue? I'm sure some of that is going on. I'm not saying that some of the coverage is not over the top. Honestly, what's over the top at this point is we've seen the video. Okay, we've got it, and I think it had newsworthy value because especially on Monday when it was breaking. But I mean, Kevin Ware broke his leg for Louisville. They stopped showing it. They're like, this is too graphic. We're not going to show a broken leg.
Yeah.
You're going to show this woman getting punched in the face and getting knocked out. Anyone who needs to have seen it by now has seen it probably 10 to 20 times over.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the media that's covering it, and they're going to continue to cover it as long as everybody continues to talk about it on social media and everything. That's what they go off of. They're going off of what everybody wants to talk about. So, I mean, listen, we want to talk about the Redskins this week, and, you know, first call you go to. Still wants to talk about that topic.
It's a big issue, and I think it's an important issue. And let's be honest about it. I mean, there are a lot of different layers that come up out of it. I've got a lot of questions. Why is Greg Hardy playing? Why is Ray McDonald playing? Well, the simple answer is their cases are not all the way through the legal system. Even though Greg Hardy got convicted, the appeal process in that is considered part of the trial. It's a weird system, I guess, that they have in North Carolina. So it's not like his trial's over, he's been convicted, and now he'll appeal. The appeal comes, is my understanding, as part of the trial, so his official adjudication has not come down. When it does, I would expect a minimum of 6-game suspension for him.
Bottom line, visual evidence is always worse than the written. With the Hardy thing, you have a written police statement that you're reading. But if there was videotape of what
exactly
that police statement
what he did,
says
right,
he did,
right?
Whoo!
I'm with you.
That'd
be
terrible.
With you. Let's go back to the lines. Daryl, you're next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right. I'm gonna touch on this Ray Rice, and I'm leaving alone. And I know people are tired of talking about it. But I think there's only one way he can come back in the league. And that's if the Ravens brought him back and put him through counseling, workshop. I understand punishing people. What he did, it was dead wrong, but you tried to help people. Just like 2 years ago when Dez Bryant popped his mother, Jerry Jones was pissed at him. He didn't cut him. Now, if he did cut him, nobody would have picked him up. Nobody in the locker would want nobody around him like that. But that's the only way I think he could come back in the league. If the Ravens was willing to bring him back and say, the only way you come back, you got to do this. You got to go to workshop. You got to go work out at a woman's shelter. You got to go talk to guys in jail that killed their wife and see how crashed they feel. You even got to go to the morgue and see how women have been cut, messed up. I want him to really feel this thing. You want him to feel the pain. And I think your fingers off there.
All right, thank you, man. He's never going to play another down for the Ravens, that's for sure. I mean, they said almost as much, and Bisciotti, the owner, said, I hope some other team gives him a chance. They've already done a jersey return. You know what I mean? They're not, forget it. That he's never going back to Baltimore. You know why Dez Bryant would have still been in the National Football League?
He's Dez Bryant.
He's not a 27-year-old running right. back who averaged 3.1 yards a carry last
he's
year.
A monster. I thought Ray was older than that, and that's what I was saying. Forget, you know, obviously all the topic of domestic violence has been touched on. But if you look at the football side of it, Ray Rice out a year. When he comes back, I thought he was older than 27. But when he comes back, he's even a year older. And we've already seen the devalue of running backs in the league as it is.
Right.
Nobody's going to pick up a 28-year-old.
He probably turned 28 during the season. I don't know when his birthday is, which would mean he turned 29 next year after having not played a season and coming off a very unproductive year prior to that. And is it worth the PR nightmare? With Vic. Right? Vic had gone to Leavenworth, had seemingly really invested himself in changing his life and advocating for a change in
he went around and spoke
animal cruelty and things like that. And he was a quarterback who, oh, by the way, came back and played at an MVP level for about three quarters of a season for Philadelphia. I mean, that's part of the equation here, too, you know?
Yeah, the penance that he served, you know, serving your time and going, like you said, Mike Vick going and talking to groups in Virginia Beach and all over the place, you know, that's what obviously people want to see. But with this, I mean, shoot, let's get back to the football. You saw last night in the game. I mean, you can't touch receivers. You have to wait for the receiver to catch the ball and then wait for him to take a couple steps and then you have to wrap around him gently and take him to the ground. So running backs are not. You know, receivers are where it's at. That's where you look at the first round this year. More receivers taken in the first round, you know, obviously than running backs. Running backs are totally devalued in this offense.
By the way, the shot on Roethlisberger that drew a personal foul that extended that drive on third down, what the heck was that?
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. On this date, 1964, Fat Tony, first football game ever played at Shea Stadium. How about that? Jets beat Denver 30-6 in that one. In 1988, first NFL regular season game played in Phoenix. The Cowboys knocking off the Phoenix Cardinals at the time, I believe, later to become the Arizona Cardinals. And according to the footballsearchengine.com, no one was born or died on this day at all, of significance or otherwise. So that's what I'm going with. The Best Fence Company of Jacksonville brings you this date in football history. Their mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product at a competitive price, giving you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate from the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. For more information, that is this date in football history.
We had a caller earlier today already asking about this, but the players are expected to vote on a potential new drug policy in the NFL today that could reduce some of the suspensions for players. We've already talked about Josh Gordon, Wes Welker. Maybe Ace Sanders is included in that as well. Some of the other things that are coming out of this potentially agreed-to deal, HGH testing would come into the National Football League. An interesting provision would make it so that players who are in the drug program, the National Football League, if they're clean for a year, can go to a doctor and basically be removed from the I get tested over and over and over and over again and instead get tested like a player who is not in the drug program during
that
year.
Kind of reset their status.
Yeah, reset it. And amphetamines, the wording here, a positive test for amphetamines in the offseason would be adjudicated under the policy for drugs of abuse. such as marijuana, though a positive test for amphetamine during the season would still be handled by the policy on performance-enhancing drugs as it is now.
So you can enhance your performance in the off-season.
Correct.
As long as you don't do it in
That's
the regular
right.
season.
Just do it for OTAs. The storyline's continuing to develop in regards to the Ray Rice story. The NFL and Commissioner Roger Goodell announced yesterday there will be an independent investigation into the league's handling of the Rice investigations that will be headed by former FBI Director Robert Mueller. Giants owner John Mara and Steelers owner Art Rooney III were selected by the other NFL owners to oversee that investigation. Many, Mike, are questioning the validity of this investigation, though. Mueller currently works for the law firm of WilmerHale, which has represented Washington owner Daniel Snyder. Richard Cass, who is currently a chairman of the Baltimore Ravens, worked at the law firm for 31 years.
30 years plus.
Right. The firm has represented the league's interests directly against DirecTV. The sum total of those things has left many people asking if this really is an independent investigation or one that the league's office may be able to closely monitor and control. Whether it is or not, there's little doubt that whatever this investigation concludes, it will be even more scrutinized than it already would have been given these circumstances. And maybe the bigger question, it remains a mystery as to how the league can continue to make these huge, obvious mistakes in their handling of this situation.
I think, as Bill Simmons said, Roger Goodell may be the first man in American history to have the same scandal blow up in his face three separate times.
It's unreal.
So, and counting, I think, at this point. So, not going to count him out of the woods on that score just yet. Speaking of scores, let's talk to our buddy Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. Get the latest on the lines that you can take advantage of this week if you're following the oblong spheroid. Hi, Lee. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Mike?
We're fantastic, man. What are we looking at this week? I know we're looking at Sunday Night Football, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They got some gifts from Tony Romo last week, didn't they?
you know, when I played quarterback, those would be the ones that Tony Romo threw that my coach would look at me and say, "What were you thinking?" I mean, it was like those are mistakes you make like when you're 13, 15, 18 years old, not a professional. So those early breaks allowed San Francisco to cruise. They were never tested. The Bears got no breaks at all and lost to Buffalo 23-20. Now, it's a game of matchups, and I think the matchups actually favor Chicago here. San Francisco has a cluster of injuries on the defensive line and also in the defensive backfield. That's going to allow the Bears quarterback Cutler to throw to Forte out of the backfield and Marshall and Jeffrey and Bennett down the field. As far as NFL numbers are concerned, this is going to be a shootout, and I think the wrong team is favored. I have Chicago winning the game outright 31-28.
Yeah, and they're getting 7 points, so if you want to be
It's going to go up to 7.5, so if you like Chicago, just wait.
Just wait. How about that? It's going to go up even bigger. Well, wouldn't it be going up because the fear that Alshon Jeffrey might not play in this game? Because
yeah, but I'm hearing already that he probably is going to play. So
you think
that's
so?
The
okay.
case. If that's the case, it'll come back down late. So the key is a half a point on the number 3 or 7, very, very important. If you like San Francisco, you play it now. If you like Chicago, you wait. Probably sometime on Saturday or early Sunday morning, it'll jump to 7.5.
You mentioned Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys. They're going on the road to take on Tennessee. Tennessee, 4.5-point home favorite there against the Dallas Cowboys. And look, Tennessee is a team that I think last year the number was they gave up 3 passing touchdowns on the entirety of the season. They've been a very tough pass defense that showed up again for them in Week 1. How do you feel about this game?
Well, I think that Dallas is going to be one of those teams like last year. Their defense is not any better, maybe worse. But away from home, they're probably going to play their best ball. Seems like pressure is on them at home. And 7-4 against the spread as a road underdog. I like the game planning last week by Ken Weisenhut. He really had a good game plan. He was using motion. He kept their opponent off guard. And the play calling was fantastic. But the problem here is their offensive line. I think they're going to have trouble controlling Dallas the way other teams have. And Tennessee also 3-8-2 home spread record their last 15. They have not been great at home here. I'm going to call for a Dallas win. Dallas is one of those teams. They'll lose a game and then win a game back and forth. I think they win the game outright 27-24.
All right, another wrong team is favored. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com on the Garber Auto Mall hotline. Lee, one from the college ranks. I know you got Washington minus 13.5 versus Illinois. What's the right side there?
I think that Washington is probably the right side here. If you look at just sheer talent. But the problem here is Illinois finally has a quarterback. And they have a kid that most people don't know about, this kid, Westmont. He was a starter 2 years ago when he was at Oklahoma State, got injured, and then he transfers and follows his offensive coordinator. So they've got firepower, and Washington is without their best cornerback. He is suspended for the game here. In a shootout, Washington will win something like 42-37, but Illinois will cover.
All right, take all the dogs. San Fran given 7 to Chicago, may go up to 7.5. Tennessee given 4.5 to the Cowboys, and Washington 13.5 to the Fighting Illini. Your game of the week is Monday Night Football. The Colts, a 3-point home favorite versus the Eagles. How do folks get that game, Lee?
All they need to do is call me here at the office, 800-400-9741. Off to a great start. Mike follows all these games. He knows what we give out. We don't give out different sides to different people. We don't have different groups of games. We've won 5 of the first 6 weeks since the start of the preseason. Hit our first 40 to 50 unit selection last week with BYU over Texas. Already 2-0 this week. If you'd like to get this game for free, call 800-400-9741. If you'd like to buy my selections, they are up and available. We sell them on a weekly, monthly, or seasonal basis. ParamountSports.com.
There he is, ParamountSports.com. Lee Sterling. Lee, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. There he goes. 800-400-9741. Lee Sterling at ParamountSports.com on the Garber Auto Mall hotline. I should point out that the cat, Jackson DeVille, appeared courtesy of the Garber Auto Mall hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like we burned him pretty good right there. We singed his fur just a little bit. That is some, he loves some gaudy leisure suit.
No doubt.
Going on. That's our cat right there. I did not recognize that media outlet that he mentioned earlier that he appeared on, but I don't know. What can I tell you? I'm a CBS 47 Fox 30 kind of guy myself. All right. We will take a timeout and we'll come back. We'll hear more from inside the Jaguar locker room yesterday, including Toby Gerhart and Paul Posluszny. That's coming up. Shad Khan's statement that he released on the status of the whole Ray Rice affair and how that has impacted the National Football League. We'll share that with you as well. 641-1010, phone lines open to you if you'd like to get on board, talk a little Jaguar football. It's Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Friday is presented by Claude Nolan Cadillac, serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer in Northeast Florida. Get this. Since 1905, people, okay? The largest selection of new or pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. And by the way, Claude Nolan Cadillac, the only Cadillac dealer here in North Florida selling and servicing the ELR. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any model Cadillac. Claude Nolan Cadillac guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac only a step away. Build your lasting relationship now by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or just stop by and say hello. 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for our friends at Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. George Strait, out of the clear blue sky. Right there, Tony. Which George are we referring to here?
George Yarnow.
Oh, George Yarnow, yeah.
Yeah.
Absent, but shouldn't be out of mind. Good
exactly.
Call on that one.
Thank you.
I don't have total recall of what I had for breakfast.
Trust me, I got you covered on the music part because I love George Strait.
Well,
and
there you
go. Love Garth Brooks, who's coming next
fantastic.
Month.
Fantastic.
I know.
It's fantastic. Before we move on to some more Inside the Locker Room sound,
mm-hmm.
Tell you what Fat Tony's got coming up this week. And before all those wonderful things are going to occur, Rhino is on the line. One of my best friends in high school was named Rhino.
Could this be Rhino?
Wasn't his given name. I don't know. I doubt it. What's up, Rhino? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? Doesn't sound
like name actually comes from my favorite baseball player of all time, Ryan Sandberg.
Okay, Sandberg. Sure. All right. I got you.
Absolutely.
All right. What can I do for you?
Well, I haven't heard you guys talk much about this. I don't really listen. You know, I'm in and out of the truck a lot. But, you know, as far as the Jaguars match up with the Redskins, you know, if they can't get the running game going and they have to drop back and pass 40 times, you know, they basically abandon the run with Arakpo and Kerrigan coming off the ends. I mean, I can just see a long day for Chad Henne and that offensive line. Also, another thing about the Ray Rice comment, you know, the one thing I'm not liking so much about the Ray Rice deal is Miami Dolphins came out this year with a huge win against New England, and I watch NFL Network, and they go, oh, Miami starts off the year with a win against New England. Now, breaking news, back to the Ray Rice story. I can't hear any love for the Miami Dolphins. What's going on with that, man?
Nobody loves the Miami Dolphins. It's a pretty simple explanation for that. I don't know what to tell you. You're not going to get any love for the Miami Dolphins in this room either. So continued good luck with that. I mean, look, is it overshadowed? I guess, you know, but no one's ever had, no one ever thinks their team's getting the proper amount of publicity and praise for what they do right.
No.
I mean, that's just the way it is. It was a good win for Miami, week one.
No, good for them. I mean, they're 1-0 at home against New England. They get the win in the division against the favorite in the division. Good for them.
Professional football is not predicated on love, Tony. In college, the rankings still matter. The rankings in the NFL are 1-0 and 0-1. That's the ranking system. We prefer to use game results as the final arbiter of deciding
that's right.
All things in terms of the playoff process. So who cares about the love? You'll get the love in the form of a playoff berth if you keep winning. There's
no doubt. Love. And obviously that the first part of that feeds into our topic today for the fan feedback spotlight.
Yes.
Where we're asking fans to tell us what they think their keys to the game are. Rhino obviously thinks it's about the Jaguars finding some way to establish a running game against that Skins team.
If you look at John Osier's 10 things for this game on Jaguars.com, the senior writer there, which you should, his number one thing was run the ball. The number two thing was run block effectively. I'm paraphrasing here. And I thought, are you talking about the same thing? And I think the first point was simply run the ball. Run. Right? Don't abandon it. You got to stay with it. I think probably for some of the same reasons that Rhino's talking about there.
Yeah, and we saw him last week. I mean, for every caller who called in on Sunday after the game or Monday after the game and said, the game plan got too conservative, what game were you watching? If anything, in the second half, that game plan wasn't conservative enough for what the Jaguars needed to do to establish some kind of offense in the second half, because they got no rhythm in the third quarter. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, they had the one drive that ended with Allen Hurns getting the ball knocked out of his hands over the middle of the field. But that was really it. For this team in that game in the second half, that was the one drive that they had where they had multiple first downs. I mean, there was nothing happening for them, and they never went back to the run game through that third quarter. So they need to find some way to not only establish that run, but try to make it work.
That's the thing. You can run. You got to make it work eventually, or else you're just feeding into the other team's hands as well. By the way, my Rhino received the nickname for a different reason. let's go to Doug up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Doug.
Mike, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Quick question. What do you think the odds are that Chad Henne can actually put this team, this roster, on his shoulders and win the ball game? I don't want to necessarily talk about Chad Henne as an individual quarterback, but with this receiving core that we've got with Caesar Shorts out and with this running game, I mean, what's the likelihood that you could actually put the game on his shoulders and let him be the one that leads to a win against the Reds?
See, I feel like you're setting me up for a punch.
No, I'm not. I'm really not, because I know Bortles isn't going to play, and this is an opportunity for the Jaguars to go get one on the road, you know, with the Redskins being who they are. But I think with the fact that we have no running game and we have receiving corps, it's just laden with rookies, right, and maybe missing some guys out of the defensive backfield with Sip, that it's going to come down to the quarterback. So I really want to see Chad Henne succeed, because I think that game's got to be on his shoulders so that we can get a victory up there in Washington. So I'm just curious about what your thoughts are about Henne being able to carry this team through.
Well, I don't think they look at it like that. I don't think anyone looks at it like that. That if you're counting on Chad Henne to put a team on his shoulders, he's never been that guy. They've never put him forth as that guy.
No.
They want him to be a guy who can lead a fairly balanced attack, and that goes away from everything they preach about do your own job, be responsible for your own job. Don't count on this one guy to bail out the entire team. So, I mean, look, I'd still feel like it's a setup for as soon as you say, well, he can't do it, you're going to say, well, what about Blake Bortles? Let's give him a shot to do it, because he hasn't proven he can't put a team on his shoulders, and maybe he can do it. I mean, like you said, it's not going to happen this week. I don't think probably on occasion, Chad Henne's done it in his career, a handful of games here and there. Most quarterbacks that have started as many games as he has, probably responsible for some terrific performances. I mean, he threw for, what did he throw for against Houston a couple of years ago, right? I mean, he's had a few performances like that in his career, 400-yard sure. passing days, what have you, but I mean, the likelihood's not there. I don't think anybody expects that.
No, Chad Henne is Chad Henne, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is a guy that he's the stopgap until the team is ready to put Blake Bortles on the field, and we've had the conversation for the past 2 months that the fan base is ready for Blake Bortles to take the field. But in regards to the question, if the running game isn't working, if they can't get that part of the game working, it's still going to be a bunch of young receivers out there running around because it doesn't sound like Cecil Shorts is going to be able to play. Do I think that Chad Henne is good enough to elevate the play of the offense to get him to a level where the offense is going to be the reason they win the game? No, I don't think he is. But if they can get the other things around him to work, if the running game is working at a competent level, if receivers are making the plays that are available to this team to make, then yeah, Chad Henne is good enough to go win this game on the road against Washington. I don't think that he elevates what they do on the offensive side of the ball, but I don't think he holds them back either. They will be as good as they allow him to be in this game.
Yeah, and part of that is hanging on to the football
yeah.
when he's accurate, and part of it is being more accurate in, on his own behalf. But they didn't have the running game going at any point last week, but they set him up with favorable field position, and he took advantage of it.
Yes, he did.
So go out and do it again. You know, I
force
mean,
turnovers.
Force more turnovers. Yep. I think that's always going to be a key with this football team, and that's why it was a bad sign, I thought, even at the half, that you had all these factors that worked in your favor like that, and there was still some nagging, you know, not being able to run the football. You're up in the turnover margin, and you just felt like the Jags had dominated that game, but there were some nagging statistics that
indicated. You were waiting almost for the wheels to fall.
Right.
Like, on the offensive side, it was like, it's right. still not working right now.
We've had all these sacks. We've had all these turnovers. We've had all this. And still, if Philly comes out and sticks it in the end zone, you felt like they're right back in this football game. But let's move on. Toby Gerhart yesterday in the locker room gave an update on how his ankle has been feeling.
It's feeling pretty good. It's coming along. So I'm gonna go out there and try to practice and see how it feels. You know, it'll be the first time really testing it, and we'll take it play by play and see how it goes.
And Toby was also asked if he's ever had an injury like that to his ankle before.
Not like this. It's a little different. I think it's just a byproduct of the way I was tackled on that play. But I know it's progressing a lot faster than an ankle that I've had in the past. I'm optimistic about it and, you know, excited to push it today.
All right, looking ahead, let's jump ahead here to Cut 5, Lauren. Toby was asked if he felt there were some missed chances out there that the Jaguars did not capitalize on last Sunday.
Yeah, there's definitely some missed chances. You know, we're one block away. Maybe I put my foot in the ground too soon and could have stretched it another step or two to help them out or whatever it may have been. But we're a young offensive line, young offensive team. And we're going to have growing pains, and we're going to be on an upward trajectory. And excited about the direction it's going, and we're just going to try to get better each and every week.
Upward trajectory.
He threw an each and every in there.
Yes, though. He did. He did throw the each and every quarter minus in the one. Jar. Paul Pozlesny, one of the captains on the defense for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. We've been talking today about the keys for trying to slow down this Washington offense. What exactly is it going to be? Paul was asked this week about Washington's offense and the challenge of trying to defend them.
It's a challenge because both they're very good at doing both. But for us, you know, priority number one is still going to be we have to stop the run. We saw how well Morris was able to run in week one, what he's able to do. We feel like they have a really good offensive line, and that the challenge for us is going to be able to stop the run.
Paul Pozlesny continuing on the defensive line playing in front of him. He's seen a couple varying states of defensive line play over the last couple of years, and now he's got what we feel is the best group they've had in a while. Has he shown or has he seen that improvement already paying dividends for the Jaguars?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you saw what our D-line was able to do, you know, against Philly. I mean, 5 sacks, which is, I don't think we've had a game like that in a long, long time. So to have a group like that that's really able to get after the passer and then also be very physical in the run game with Red and Roy Miller, I mean, those guys do a great job up front. And that's what's really going to set the tone for our entire defense.
Robert Griffin III, the quarterback for the Redskins, his rookie year was a dominant throw the football down the field, made so many plays for that Redskins team, throwing the ball deep. Paul Posluszny was asked if he still believes RG3 is a deep threat.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, you look at week one and the Redskins took what Houston was giving them, you know, defensively. So they have the ability to do everything. They can throw the ball downfield. They have two great deep threats. So I'm sure they're going to take advantage of that at some point.
They took what they were giving them, but they didn't result in putting a lot of points on the board.
No, they did not. Although they blew a lot of opportunities.
No, they did.
Game too.
But boy, I'd much rather see them try to go on a 12 play 80-yard drive than a 2 or 3 play quick strike over the top to DeSean Jackson kind of situation.
And I think that was kind of the game plan for the Jaguars defense last week too. It obviously fell apart a couple times in that game with the Sproles running the Macklin play, but it felt like the Jags were like, look, they're not getting behind us. We're keeping everything in front of us and we're going to tackle. And for the most part, they did that against Philadelphia. I would expect that to kind of be the game plan this week against Washington as well.
All right, the Foundation Professionals of Florida Photo Contest, final day for this week. The theme is My Jaguar Family. You can go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today, and look for the thread that's pinned to the top, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida, who feel like you, the fans, are the foundation of the Jaguar organization. Likewise, they realize the importance of a stable foundation for your most important investment, your home. If you've got a foundation problem, there may be more than one solution. Foundation Professionals will find it for you. They'll give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. They'll work with your insurance company, and of course, financing is available. Licensed and insured. Call Foundation Professionals of Florida at 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com. And if you are selected as one of the finalists for the photo contest, next week we will draw and give away a pair of tickets to the home opener as the Colts come calling, and the Jags are encouraging you to come out and protect the bank when they're in town. If you don't have your tickets, don't count on winning them. Only one person is going to win that pair. Andrew Luck and division rival Indianapolis come in on September 21st at 1 o'clock. You got to be there for the amazing season home opener. Witness what everybody's been talking about, the world's largest video boards on display and the unveiling of the NFL's best game day experience. Tickets are going quick, though. You can get yours today at jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. We'll come back. Fat Tony will lay out the schedule for the weekend for you. He's got the Friday Night Lights scoreboard show tonight and more coming up. We'll take a look at your responses to the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight. Looking for your keys to victory as well. And a Shad Khan statement. Still haven't gotten to it. I'll read it. It's brief, but he weighed in finally on the Ray Rice situation. So we'll have that for you as well. Coming up, Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. You know who's the best?
Who's that?
Lauren Brooks. The best.
She's good.
Lauren Brooks.
Well, thanks.
Amazing.
I thought you meant Gus, and the song is Gus. Gus.
Gus. Gus. Gus,
Gus is the best, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's good job. Yes. Gus. Gus. Jaguars.
I'm competing with myself to get better every day.
You've done very well. Today was a good
thank
theme.
You.
I'll tell you, today's theme did not suck.
All so right. It wasn't terrible.
That's can be high praise.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. Doesn't suck. All those things are applicable here. Very nicely played by you. Tony, I've been itching. You're welcome. I've been itching to read you the statement from Shad Khan. I kept referencing it. So lest I forget once again, let me do this. This was Shad Khan yesterday in a statement released by the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is quotes directly attributable to the owner of the team. Quote, "It was an unspeakable and cowardly act by the player," speaking of Ray Rice here. "The punishment he received from his team and the league will never be enough to compensate for the action or erase it from our memory. The emotions we've all experienced from this are high and lasting, and the scrutiny and criticism at times has been understandable. But I have always had great faith in Commissioner Goodell. I applaud his decision to have this matter investigated by an independent party, and I know the process will be seen through objectively and with great integrity. As a league, we want and will accept nothing less. I'm sure Commissioner Goodell feels the same. Until we learn more from the investigation, it's important now that we measure our thoughts and train our energy on doing whatever it takes, sending whatever message necessary to eliminate domestic violence. We have the opportunity and obligation to lead by example," end quote, Shad Khan. I would say this, not everybody has the same faith in Roger Goodell as the owners are expressing right now. We talked about this on the break with the Cat earlier, and we talked about it early in the week, Tony, with David Garrard yesterday. The players can't stand Roger Goodell. That is a pretty commonly held opinion, I believe. In fact, some of them outright just loathe the guy, would love to see him thrown out of his position in the National Football League. They feel he's haughty. He's a guy who come in and made himself judge, jury, and executioner on all matters of discipline. They signed off on it, by the way, which is the thing that they have to keep in mind when it comes to the CBA. They agreed to everything, and, you know, that's just the way it is. If stick to your guns, if that's that big of an issue for
sure.
you, regardless. There is an undercurrent of contempt for this commissioner like you've rarely seen in a league as successful as the National Football League. There's maybe never been a league in American sports as successful as the National Football League has been, ratings-wise, earnings power-wise, interest-wise over the last 10 years or so.
And that's why the owners, for the most part, have Roger Goodell's back, and the players are pushing back against a lot of the things that Roger Goodell is doing because the league is more, they're scrutinizing the players' behavior more than it ever has. The league in general is. And that there's this wildfire in the face of a commissioner who the players felt like basically suspended a GM and head coach of an organization, costing them an entire season, essentially in New Orleans, without any real due process or proof of what they were being accused of, as they feel is evidenced by the former commissioner when handed the list of suspensions, basically saying, no, you can't do that to Jonathan Vilma and these other players. You can't prove what you're accusing them of.
Roger Goodell said he had 50,000 pages of evidence in
right.
that case. You remember that? And
I
then
do.
Tagliabue took a look and was like, you got about three.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, whatever he was doing, he was like, this is nothing. And scoffed at the job that Goodell had done. And
sure.
I think that was the first time the players have felt this way about him for a while. They don't trust him. You see these comments from Scott Fujita. He said, hey, what are you talking about? A loss of credibility. You haven't been paying attention. He lost his credibility a long time ago. Now, these are guys directly impacted by the bounty gate speaking out, or guys like James Harrison, former players. And you understand, you know, the desire for revenge, what have you.
Sure.
So they're not the most objective sample size out there, but it's pretty widespread. All right, before we go any further, tonight, Mike Davidson Ford High School scoreboard show, the Friday Night Lights scoreboard show. You
yeah.
and Hacker about 9:30-ish?
9:30-ish. We'll be on at the conclusion of Episcopal Christ Church Academy tonight on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Bishop Kenny getting the week off, so we'll have the one game on the station tonight. Hacker and I will come on as soon as that game goes final. We'll take you up till midnight tonight. Again, last week we had 12 head coaches from around the area on. We got some big time matchups here in the high school scene tonight. Fletcher Sandalwood, Reigns First Coast, Ed White, Mandarin playing tonight as well. So we'll keep you updated up until midnight tonight.
All right. We have got, we got Georgia Bulldog football this weekend, don't we?
We
on
do.
10XL.
We got Georgia, South Carolina on tomorrow. We got Tennessee, Oklahoma on the station tomorrow night. Those are really the two big games in the world of college football this weekend.
Yep.
Obviously a huge day on Sunday, our broadcast day, live beginning at 9 a.m. and running until 8 p.m. on
Sunday. Well, hold on now, Tony. Don't skip the good stuff, because it's 7 a.m.
Oh, that's right. Helmets and Heels.
Set your radio DVRs to Helmets and Heels, presented by Underwood's Jewelers, replay of that show with the star of this broadcast. She may have just been called that for the first time. Lauren Brooks, Jessica Blaylock, former star
I'll
of the show, Donna
you.
Murphy, and Blythe Brumley as well. And then the web.com fantasy forecast replay
mm-hmm.
with myself, Josh Carney, you, and Agent Gibbs. The Sawyer Gas Jaguar Game Day Show with the Hacker and David Lamb. The Publix Tailgate Show, JP Shatterick, myself, you, Lauren. We'll miss you again this week as the Jags are in Washington.
I'll miss you too.
You can come by and visit with us and share some pizza, which is usually our visiting team meal when
yep.
the Jags are on the road. We go for the pizza.
At least, countdown is it good pizza?
It's all right.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, it's okay.
It's pizza.
It's not Tony D's, I'll tell you that.
All right.
Maybe we should call Tony D's this week. Ooh. Countdown to kickoff at noon. With JP, myself, Fred Taylor, and of course we'll hear from everybody on the broadcast crew, the whole nine yards, and the game kicks off at 1 o'clock. Frank Frangie, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli in the booth, Rick Blue on the sidelines, Jaguar post game with, me, JP, and Fred from 4 until 5, the scoreboard show, It's just JP, Shadrick, and myself. And then the Jags fifth quarter presented by the Florida Pump Service with T-Wig and Hacker from 6 until 8 o'clock approximately. Basically, when we wrap up, we hand off to them, and they go till 8 o'clock. So a full broadcast day on Sunday.
Absolutely. Sunday nights, by the way, I am hosting sports trivia at Cole Haynes Irish Pub each and every week, quarter in the jar. I did it. But you can come
you
on out.
You did that on purpose. You looked right at me.
Come on out to Cole Haynes on Sunday night. We do sports trivia. I know you're busy on Sundays. Jaguars game day. They're playing the Redskins. You got to eat, though. And there's some great food out there at Cole Haynes as well. And come watch the first half of Sunday Night Football with me. Vent all the anger or the victory. If you want to talk about what the Jaguars did well on Sunday, I'll be out there on Sunday night's trivia. Starts at 7:30. I always try to ask one or two Jaguars-specific trivia questions every week as well.
Teal.
No, last week it was, who is the Jaguars' active leader in sacks on the roster?
Tyson Alualu.
That is correct.
Woohoo! And he wears teal some of the time.
That is correct. And the other Jaguar question I asked was, if you remove Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell from the list...
You cry.
...of the Jacksonville Jaguars' all-time best seasons, individual seasons as a receiver, who is the highest player on that list? What
yardage-wise?
Yeah, what player has the most
Matt
yards in a
Jones.
Season?
Jones.
Incorrect. Cecil Shorts. 979
oh, that's
is
a
the
good
next
one. That's
highest
right.
season.
He did,
and
he
I think
knock
it's,
on the door.
I think it's 14th on the all-time list is Cecil Shorts.
So 13 Jimmy and Fred seasons, or Jimmy and Keenan seasons.
Seasons. And then Cecil.
Ahead of him.
And
how
Mike
about
Sims
that?
Walker was next on that list, followed
wow.
by Justin Blackman.
Wow, yeah. Wow, wow. Wow. I should have stuck with teal and just
no doubt.
Cut it off
so
right
come
there.
On out to Cole Haynes Sunday night at 7:30. We'll have some fun.
All right. Tony, got a chance. Let's take a look at a few, at least, replies that we got today in the Fan Feedback Spotlight presented by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, asking fans, what drives you? Today we asked, what will drive the Jags to victory? Three keys to the win. What'd we get?
From Irish Jaguar, we got play for 60 minutes like you did the first 15 last week. Affect RG3 and take your chances.
I'll take 60
Jaguars
like the first
today.
30.
Absolutely. From Brandon, we need Yolo Henny to make an appearance. Stop the run. Establish the run. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag beat RG me. Gives you an idea of his attitude
Ooh.
Towards RG3. From Matt, we got play 60 minutes, take away skins, deep threats, get Toby Gerhart the running game going, hashtag Jaguars today. From Brandon, strong D, no drops, solid running game, hashtag no turnovers. From Pete, we got run the damn ball, catch the damn ball, move the damn chains, hashtag win the damn game, hashtag Jaguars today. From
outscore the opponent.
That's right. From Eric, we got rush RG3, score points, play all four quarters, walk out with the win. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag go Jags. Hashtag let's do this.
Number one key for you is what?
Number one key for me is stopping that Washington Redskin running game, because I think what they want to do on offense is going to be predicated on having the opportunity to run the ball at some point in that game. And I think that plays into a Jaguar strength. I think that they can stop the run against anybody in this league. If they can stop it against the Philadelphia Eagles, which they did for the most part, they can stop it against anybody. It's the strength right now of this team. And just no big chunk plays. Just these brain dead, brain fart, big time touchdown plays against the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. For me, that's the key.
I would say for me, the key is sustained drives. Whether that's better efficiency on third down or maybe you're getting yourself in second and shorts, I don't really care where the first downs come from. I want to see them string them together. I want to see them have a little more time of possession. And look, the quick strikes are great. If they result in points, I'll take them as quick as I can get the points on the board.
Sure.
But I want them to be able to run effectively. To me, that's a bigger key this week because every team wants to stop the run, right? Well, Washington wants to stop that Jaguar running game as well. Run effectively, extend drives, pick up, put yourself in manageable down and distance situations. So I think these are all part of the same key for me. We'll talk more about, by the way, Fred Taylor had a great line about RG3. I heard him, he had his pregame conversation this morning with JP Shadrick. You'll hear that coming up. You'll have to tune in between noon and one to catch that as we count down to kickoff on the Jaguar Radio Network. Got a bunch of replies along the same lines on Facebook. This one from Nicholas Wall. Score more TDs than Washington. Give up less TDs than Washington. Protect the ball. Hashtag it's that easy. Hashtag Jaguars today. On and on and on. And also I got this one, although, albeit without hashtag, simply a miracle. That's what, I guess the keys, the
it's
three keys
bad,
are a
guys.
Single miracle.
Come on.
It's really not that bad. I mean,
This Redskins team won three games last
year.
They're
not the 72 Dolphins that they're rolling out here.
No.
Because then they'd be sneaking by with
this is a winnable game.
Hair of their teeth wins.
I know
every
you've
week.
Been swaying a little bit. You were very confident early in
I'm
the week.
I'm confident.
We're going to talk to the boys on primetime here in just a couple moments, but your pick.
Right now, I got to be honest with you. I think I think it's something like 27-24 Washington when it's all said and done. I just think too much. I was hoping, you know, maybe we get some Cecil back. I think if Cyprian plays, that probably changes it for me. I think it's close enough that his absence could be the difference. I think Washington certainly is going to be more aggressive trying to force the ball downfield in this game. And, you know, if the Jags are able to defend that, great. Look, they've got a shot in this game. I want them to win. I want to be 15-1 now. They can't go 16-0, but I also got to tell you what I honestly think every
sure.
week. You know, I can't just pick them to win because I want them to win. What about you?
Still not a lot of confidence on the offensive side of the ball. Look, there's a lot of young pieces and a lot of things still trying to come together for the Jags on that side, so I'm not sure how effective they're going to be able to be. This is a game that they can win. In the end, though, I like Washington something like 23-16.